Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the Muscular Dystrophy Association's 2024 Clinical and Scientific Conference in Orlando, Florida. Our guest today is Tracy Sharp, a volunteer with the Lambert-Eaton Family Association. Tracy, a native of Kentucky and an electrician by trade, was diagnosed with the disease also known as LEMS in 2010. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good, big wiki today.
So how did you get the disease? How were you diagnosed and how has it affected your life? Tell us your story.
Well, when it first started, my legs were starting to give out from underneath of me at work. I couldn't keep up with the younger guys anymore, and I thought old age was catching up, and it was time to go to the doctor and see what was going on. And they went to the doctor, my primary doctor, and he said, let's go take off for a couple of weeks, and we'll do some tests and see what's going on.
How old were you at the time?
56.
Okay, and that's when you were diagnosed?
No, it took them 2 years to get me diagnosed.
What were your symptoms?
The legs went out from under me to start out with. I didn't have any... Couldn't get up and down out of a chair even was hard to do. And to walk, I was slowing down, getting slower and slower because I couldn't keep up. And I did not realize what was going on at the time.
What did you think it might be?
I didn't know. At first, I thought it was just old age catching up with me. Because I was not as quick going up and down ladders and stuff as the younger guys. And yeah, just figured it was time for me to slow down a little bit.
And as an electrician, you mentioned that you would climb to great heights.
Yes. Most of my work was always in the air, anywhere from 35 feet to 400 feet.
And then you reached a point where you could no longer even get out of a chair.
Yeah, I got to a point where I couldn't even go up and down a set of steps, so much less climb a ladder.
So what was your first step? You went to see a primary care physician?
I had to go for primary care, and then he sent me to a neurologist, and that neurologist sent me to another neurologist, and I wound up going through 7 neurologists before somebody figured out what was going on.
Okay, so how did they arrive to the diagnosis?
Test, blood work test, EMGs, nerve conduction test, and muscle biopsies. They did when they finally confirmed it was a live muscle biopsy in the back of my shoulder, and they said, "We want you to come in and be prepared to stay at the hospital for 5 days."
This was in Lexington?
In Lexington.
Which hospital?
At UK.
Okay.
And they got me diagnosed and then dropped me. And they didn't do anything. So I went to University of Cincinnati, and they finished up and got me on a study drug.
Which was?
Was 3,4-DAP at the time. And I stayed on the study drug until they got approved with FIRDAPs. And now I'm on FIRDAPs.
And that's made by Catalyst?
By Catalyst, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about this LEMS. Not many people, of course, know much about it. It is considered extremely rare.
Yes.
It's not genetic from what we understand.
Yes, it's not genetic. And don't know how I caught it. I guess I got lucky. It started in the legs, moved on to the arms. At one point, I was having trouble swallowing. I also had double vision with it. And in the double vision, I didn't have blurred vision. It was perfect sight in both eyes. I just seen two double of everything.
And isn't that also a common symptom of multiple sclerosis?
Yes. And they thought that. I was multiple sclerosis, ALS, MS, myasthenia gravis. They all went through the steps of going through those. It had like a checklist. They started checking.
ALS also?
Yeah.
And MS.
Yes.
And of course, those were ruled out.
They ruled them out, but they had a list and they just started ruling stuff out.
I see. So you mentioned earlier that you had at one point ended up in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Talk about that.
The legs, I couldn't stand to walk on them. I couldn't. It just got to the point where they wouldn't hold my weight and went all the way down to a wheelchair. And when I started getting into the study program, the medicine started helping and got me back up to walking, physical therapy, and just keep working at it. And it's a constant work now to stay walking.
And so the medication that you're on, FIRDAPS, is that is the only approved, FDA-approved drug for this
yes,
condition, right?
It is. It's the only approved medicine for the condition.
So how is the, talk about the clinical trial for that.
The trial took several different doses until you got to the right dose. It took a while to get to that. It probably worked on it for 6 months, getting the right dose.
Have you had any adverse effects?
The only adverse effects I've had with it is an upset stomach every now and then, and I get a little tingling around the mouth.
I see. So no seizures or anything like that?
No.
How many people were in the trial, and where was the trial conducted? Where did you go?
The particular trial I was in, there was only 10 people. It was set up for 10. And I know of another trial that they had, and it only had 92 in it.
Okay, well, I would assume that until your diagnosis, you had never heard of this disease.
No. No, and when they said it, I was kind of like, what are you talking about? The doctors didn't want me to look it up. They said, don't Google it. Let us come in. You come in and let us talk to you about it.
Did you anyway?
Yeah. No, not really. I listened to the doctor at the time and went ahead and waited till he talked to me so I could figure out what was going on. And the first thing they were concerned about was having cancer with it, because a lot of people have lung cancer with
small cell, right. Yeah.
And I did not have it, but I was tested for all of that.
So first symptoms of LEMS usually appear between ages 35 and 60.
And it hit me, probably started hitting me at 55.
How old are you now?
I'm 70 now.
You're 70. So you've been living with this disease since basically 2010.
Yes.
How has it affected your life, your family?
I had to give up my job because I could not do it anymore. And I've had to learn how to give up things and do things different. Can't go hiking anymore. Can't go out in the woods. Walking in grass is pretty much impossible.
Walking in grass?
Yes. Because the grass is dirt. It's not level.
It's uneven.
It's uneven.
I understand.
And even with the Rolator, it's a little tough in the grass.
But thanks to this medication, you're no longer in a wheelchair and you can use a walker.
Yes.
And how long did that take?
Probably took a year, year and a half. As I was getting stronger, I kept getting away from the wheelchair and walking more.
I see. So this is a oral. This is a pill.
Yes.
And how is it? How often do you take it? How does
this work? It, the pill itself lasts about 4.5 hours to 5. So about every 4.5 hours, I take another dose.
Well, are there any risk factors associated with LEMS? Smoking, drinking?
Smoking and drinking kind of goes along with everything.
Have you been a smoker?
No, I never was a smoker. So I can't really answer that question on smoking personally, but mm-hmm. I know they highly encourage you not to do it.
That makes sense. So I wanted to ask you a bit about your family and about finances. Since you couldn't work anymore, it obviously affected your income.
Right. Yeah. When it first happened, it was like the panic attack then was, how am I going to afford to pay for everything and keep a living going? Unfortunately, with my work, I had a long-term disability with them. And that helped a whole lot. And I had short term with them, so it really helped. And it was full pay for that time. Kind of get myself set up to where I could get on to Social Security benefits and stuff.
Is the medication paid for?
My insurance covers the medication. If it's not covered, Catalyst does have ways of helping to cover the cost.
I understand. Okay. Well, that makes sense. So about the patient advocacy organization for which you volunteer, the Lambert-Eaton Family Association. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a way of getting out and talking to doctors and other patients and letting them know that there's somebody out there that can help them, especially the other patients. I've talked to several patients. I've probably talked to 15 to 20 other people that have it and got recently diagnosed. And I try to help them out with different things, so that they kind of know what's coming ahead of them.
Do you know any patients in Kentucky?
There's one more close to me in Kentucky, just got diagnosed here recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I know several in New York, Michigan, Ohio, Florida, where we're at now, Dallas, Texas area, and Nebraska.
And you currently live in Dallas?
No, I live in Paris, Kentucky.
Oh, you live in Paris. Okay, so Dallas is with a conference last year.
Yes.
And that was the first time that your organization participated?
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And this is a relatively small family organization.
It's a small family organization. And it's a new organization. We're only 3 years old.
I see.
And they started having summits. Catalyst has summits for the people with LEMS, and there's some of us on it that we work with them to to get the word out to other patients.
Question here. Is there anything that you as a patient can do other than taking the medication that will mitigate or reduce your symptoms?
Physical therapy seems to help me a lot with mine. They work with me on certain things, and you got to learn where your limits are at and not wear yourself out exercising. And it's a fine line, because you can go over that line. Even I do sometimes now, even though I've had it for years, I'll try to do too much. And when I do, I pay for it the next day.
So exercise is not necessarily a good thing.
Not real good. You got to know when to stop.
For example, what can you do and what can't you do in terms of exercise?
Exercise for me is basically walking and using my arms. But as far as getting on a treadmill or something like that, that's a no-no. You can get in a pool of water, but you can't swim. Your muscles just won't work right.
Is aquatherapy good for you?
To a point. And when you hit that point, you got to know when to stop. Same thing with anything we do physically. And even though you feel good that day and you can go ahead and do it that day, it's the next day you got to worry about, because they will wipe you out.
I understand. How has this affected your family?
It was hard to take at first. Nobody realized what was going on. A lot of my close friends said, "Oh, you're faking it," and you're just not faking it. And they thought I was faking it because nobody could tell them. You couldn't tell them an answer as to what I had.
Why would you?
And I didn't know one.
Right.
You know, and they look at you and go, "Well, you're not sick." And when I'm sitting down, I don't look like I'm sick.
You don't look like you're sick now.
Right.
Right.
But I am.
I believe
it's you. It's a fooler.
Yeah.
And that's what fools people. And that's what fools my friends. And, you know, I had a lot of friends just like, "We don't want to talk to you about it anymore. We don't want to hear about it." I had some of my, you know, they say, "How you doing?" I try to give them answers 25 words or less.
Do you as an organization have meetings or conferences or conventions or workshops?
We have Zoom meetings because we're all over the country. And that's the easiest way to get a hold of the ones that are involved right now. I think right now there's probably 60 people in the organization, registered with the organization. And there's four or five of us that try to get out and talk to people.
What about internationally outside the United States?
Not a whole lot. I do talk to people in England, and I've talked to a couple of people in Australia, and one in Africa.
I see.
That I keep in contact with personally, that I have met through different phases of going through all the process of the studies and stuff.
So being here at this conference, do you find that you have increased visibility? Are people interested in learning more?
Yes. I talked the other night with a doctor, even after we got out of the conference, and we probably spent 2 hours talking, just me and him. He had more questions, and he come up to me, he said, "If you don't mind, can I ask you?" And I said, "Sure." So he sat down, and then next thing I knew, it was 2 hours later.
Outside of the medication you're taking, Firdapse, is there anything in the pipeline out on the horizon that might help you?
Not that we've heard of. The only one that's available right now is the Firdapse.
Got it. Okay, well, Tracy, it's been very nice talking to you. We've been speaking with Tracy Sharp of the Lambert Eaton LEMS Family Association. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.